Radio Prague News.
The Social Democrats say the furore surrounding the privatization of Unipetrol is the result of a campaign aimed at discrediting the party. The first phase of a new terminal at Prague Airport has been officially opened, 4 months ahead of schedule. And the Czech Republic has recorded a foreign trade surplus in the month of July for the first time. The governing Social Democrats have described the furore surrounding the privatization of Unipetrol as a campaign aimed at discrediting the party. Chairman Stanislav Gross, who has been linked to alleged bribe-taking, has called for a full investigation of the affair, which began when TV Nova showed a meeting between a Polish lobbyist and Zdeněk Doleżel. Mr. Doleżel was sacked by Prime Minister Jerzy Parobek as head of his office over the recording. The state's stake in Unipetrol was bought by Poland's PKN Orlen, and there have been reports that Polish officials want to question Mr. Gross, a former Czech Prime Minister, and the country's Minister of Finance, Bohumil Sobotka. The first phase of a new terminal at Prague's Ruzynia International Airport has been officially opened, 4 months ahead of schedule. The main hall of the terminal, known as North 2, should be completed by the end of the year. Ruzynia is set to become the biggest airport among the 10 countries which joined the European Union in 2004 and the first to handle more than 10 million passengers a year. The Czech Republic recorded a foreign trade surplus of 1.2 billion crowns in July, an improvement of over 8 billion compared to the same month last year. It's the first time there's been a surplus in July, when there's usually a downturn due to seasonal factors. The balance particularly improved in the field of machinery and transport machinery. Friday's positive figures caused the Czech crown to rise in strength against the euro. It reached a three-year high of 29.21. The Prague district of Troja will be the last part of the city to receive flood defences. They're to be installed after the World Kayaking Championships are held there next August, Deputy Prague Mayor Jan Burgermeister said on Friday. Many areas of the city were damaged 3 years ago, during the worst flooding in centuries. The Czech football team have arrived in Romania, ahead of an important World Cup qualifying game on Saturday. They're currently second in their group, but a win against Romania could help them guarantee a place in the finals. The two second-place teams with the best results go through without having to take part in playoffs. The Czechs last reached the World Cup in 1980. And the weather, there should be sunny spells over the next few days with some rain in places. Temperatures will reach up to 27 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby. That's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague's English service, and I'm Dita Asiedu. And today, how have higher oil prices affected the Czech Republic? Prague marks the 650th anniversary of the coronation of Charles IV. Did you know that the man behind the Porsche, born 130 years ago this Saturday, was from the Bohemian town of Liberec? Some of the main Czech business and finance news, and a very unusual theatre production. World oil prices fell slightly on Friday after the US government moved to avert a fuel shortage and some oil operations resumed on the Gulf Coast. But it could be months before the global economy recovers fully from the damage wreaked by Hurricane Katrina. And that also affects the Czech economy. Rob Cameron has more.
Oil prices had reached record levels this week as the United States was stunned by one of its worst ever natural disasters. Crude oil prices on the New York Mercantile Exchange hit an all-time high of $70.85 per barrel on Tuesday, one day after Hurricane Katrina hit the coast. But on Friday they retreated 29 cents, and London Brent crude was also down. High oil prices have a knock-on effect throughout the world, affecting every economy from China to the Czech Republic. And it's not just oil. David Marek, chief economist at Patria Finance, says the high prices will be felt in the Czech economy.
It's not only issue of dear oil, we could also see rising gas prices, coal prices, electricity prices. So the impact will be significant on inflation. Maybe inflation could be 1 percentage point higher compared to previous forecasts. So it's definitely something that could be involved in forecasting for next year's.
But David Marek says in today's world, the Czech government and Czech businesses have no choice but to be prepared for such shocks to the global economy.
They must be ready. We don't have another way. It's something that we couldn't change. It's done by prices in world markets, so we must be prepared. If inflation is higher, central bank must do something. Firms must prepare for changes in interest rates and so on. So we have a market economy and it's painful, but it's possible to solve.
Good news for Czech drivers, though. The spiraling price of oil hasn't yet been transferred onto the customer at the petrol pumps. The top-selling unleaded Natural 95 stood at an average of 29.46 crowns per litre after rising 0.02 crowns this week, while diesel remained flat at 29.08 crowns per litre.
You're listening to Radio Prague. Music you'll be able to hear in Prague this Sunday, when a procession from Vyšehrad to Prague Castle will commemorate the 650th anniversary of the coronation of Charles IV as Holy Roman Emperor. The colourful procession will feature around 150 participants in period costumes, including Charles IV himself and his third wife, Anna of Siednica. This report by Ian Willoughby begins with one of the event's organisers, Michal Baš, the mayor of Prague too.
This year it's 650 years from the coronation of Charles IV, Roman Emperor. So I think this is quite a good reason why to have this year the first repetition of his coronation procession. And the other point is that the coronation procession, which takes part, it does not relate to his coronation as emperor, but his coronation 7 years earlier as Czech king. And he even himself wrote down a coronation order describing the points that the coronation should go through, even the route of the coronation procession and so on. His idea is interesting in one point, that he always, and even in this procession, respected two Prague castles, Vyšehrad, which is from the Přemysl era, respecting his mother, and Hradčany, which was the choice of his father. So the coronation procession starts at Vyšehrad and goes through Prague, the old town, especially to the Hradčany castle.
What will the citizens of Prague see on Sunday? What form will this procession take?
Well, one thing, procession which will be in costumes. Part of the procession will be mounted on horses. There will be carriages. Some people will walk on foot.
This year, Charles IV won a television competition, Největší Czech, the greatest Czech ever. Why do you think he's still so popular, such a popular figure?
There surely are several reasons. I, as mayor of Prague, too, at every step encounter results of his rule, his ideas. The master plan which he laid down for the old town and new town of Prague, you see it in the streets still today. So one thing is that he did a lot for revolutionary steps at his time. Development of town, development of the country, we may even say the introduction of vineyards to the today's Czech Republic, which was not a usual plant here. And now we've got them even here in Prague too, we've got vineyards.
Willoughby was speaking there to the mayor of Prague too, Michal Baš, about this weekend's procession commemorating the 650th anniversary of the coronation of Charles IV. Most people would recognize a Porsche on the street, and some even the sound of a Porsche engine. But how many know the founder of the famous sports car company, Ferdinand Porsche, was born in Vratislavice, formerly known as Mattersdorf, a village in North Bohemia? This week, Porsche aficionados will gather in the town, now a suburb of Liberec, to mark the 130th anniversary of Porsche's birth. As Jan Wellinger reports, a local brewery has even produced special labels for its bottles to commemorate the event.
For a car lover, there can be few sounds as rewarding as the big cat roar of a genuine Porsche engine, especially if you're the one who's driving. Driving a Porsche, fans say, is the ultimate experience, from 0 to 60 in no time flat. In short, there's nothing quite like a Porsche in terms of engineering and design. Which is why Vratislavice, North Bohemia, has long recognized the company's founder, Sudeten-German Ferdinand Porsche, as one of its most significant historic figures. This week, fans and Porsche owners will gather in Vratislavice to show off antique as well as newer models, to test drive their cars through a few loops, and afterwards to have a beer. Earlier, I spoke to Petr Hostáš, master brewer at Vratislavský Konrad, the local brewer participating in some of the events. He told me about the new labels with the Porsche theme.
The cars on the labels include designs by Porsche himself, cars which are extremely modern in terms of their look and performance. There is, for example, the 356 Speedster, and also an early 911, so famous for its design. It'll be possible to get the specially labelled bottles over about a month, but we expect that they'll be gone by either the end of September or mid-October at the latest.
That will make the bottles something of a collector's item, Petr Hostáš agrees.
Yes, they'll be a real favourite among collectors.
A few people may frown on the idea of a car pictured on the front of a beer bottle, but Mr. Hostáš rejects the notion anyone might misinterpret their meaning, saying that Czechs are well aware of zero tolerance, the fact that it's illegal to drink and drive. What's more, the labels are clearly of an historic nature, an obvious celebration of Vratislavice's most famous son.
Thank you, Jan, for that report. And if you'd like to know more about Ferdinand Porsche, go to our website, www.radio.cz/English, where you'll find a Czechs in History dedicated to him in the archives, both in text and in sound. And just in case you've just tuned in, you're listening to Radio Prague's English Service. Brian Kennedy joins me now for some Czech business and finance news.
Thanks, Dita. Finance Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has said he is convinced that the privatization of Unipetrol, the country's largest oil and chemicals group, was transparent. He was reacting to reports that a Polish state prosecutor would seek testimony from Sobotka and former Prime Minister Stanislaw Gross regarding the sale of Unipetrol. The new management of the Polish company PKN Orlen, which paid $540 million for a controlling stake in Unipetrol, has charged that it uncovered secret deals amounting to payoffs to Czech politicians. A former chief aide to Gross is under police investigation for having allegedly sought a bribe from a Polish lobbyist in connection with the Unipetrol sale.
The Czech Republic is now aiming to adopt the common European currency in 2010. The potential 2009 target date for adopting the euro was scrapped over concerns that efforts to rein in public spending would fall short of previously set goals. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek is expected to give a statement on the decision next week. The government is not expected to formalize the new target date until late November.
The Czech Republic posted a seventh consecutive foreign trade surplus in July, the longest run since the country split from Slovakia in 1993. The surplus of $50 million was the Czech Republic's first in the month of July, when factories here typically close for as long as 3 weeks. Trade in machinery and transport equipment accounted for the bulk of the surplus.
The cabinet has approved a draft bankruptcy law aimed at the quicker dissolution of failed companies. According to a recent World Bank study, it takes on average more than 9 years to shut down a company in the Czech Republic. Some 4,000 petitions for bankruptcy are filed every year in the country, while the cases of settlement number just several dozen. On average, creditors receive only 17% of their claims, the lowest percentage in the European Union. The new law would increase creditors' powers, allow for personal bankruptcies, corporate reorganizations, and quicker dissolutions of failed companies.
The Danish toy maker Lego Group said this week that it will close 5 European distribution centers, as well as a factory in Switzerland, and move those operations to the Czech Republic. Lego, which makes a wide range of interlocking plastic building blocks and other toys, didn't say how many jobs would be created at its factory in Prague as a result of the move of the Swiss factory, which employs 239 people. Lego Group cited high costs in Switzerland as a key factor for transferring production to the Czech Republic.
That was the main Czech business and finance news, and we now round off the program with our weekly arts with Colleen O'Connor.
The evening calm of Prague's Vltava River is disrupted by a lively theatre production on board a 276-foot tugboat. While cruising on the river in the very heart of Prague, over 150 people watch enthralled as the Forman Brothers Theatre Ensemble presents its adaptation of Russian author Alexander Glin's maritime fairy tale Nachavi Plachty, or Purple Sails as it's called in English. Purple Sails is the brainchild of Petr and Maciej Forman, the twin sons of renowned film director Miloš Forman. It was first presented in Prague in 2000 as a special event to mark the Czech capital's year as a European city of culture. The production proved such a success that it has since toured all over Europe. The strikingly visual elements of the play help it transcend language barriers, and as a result, it has thrilled audiences on waterways throughout the continent. For the past 2 years, it has also been shown on dry land in a specially adapted tent. Now, however, the play is setting sail once more, and the boat will be hosting a number of performances this autumn in various Czech towns on both the Vltava and Labe rivers. Maciej Forman says presenting the play on a boat adds an extra dimension to the production.
The boat gives you absolutely this freedom of movement, because you are a part of sailing at the first. So the first big movement is to be sailing on the boat. And the second movement, which is like movement inside of the movement, is what happened in the stage, because we have this round circle stage, which is changing the spaces and the decoration. So you are part of very special moving things. And of course you feel sky, you feel stars, you see the moon, you are of also somehow have to go through the wind or through the rain. In the tent it is much more comfortable in the quiet, good conditions, but we are missing this moving part of the sailing.
Performing a play in the confined space of what was formerly an old coal barge certainly presented the Forman brothers with many challenges. An ingenious rotating stage had to be constructed to allow for rapid scene changes. The directors also had to come up with some imaginative blocking to ensure that every inch of deck space was cleverly utilised by the actors. The play's unusual setting has proved popular, however, and practically every showing of Purple Sails has been a sellout. The fact that the show is a travelling production also helps arouse the interest of audiences. Maciej Forman says that this is especially true of a touring play which is presented in many diverse riverside locations. The various different backdrops for Purple Sails ensures that each performance is a unique occasion in itself.
There are towns like Mělník, Litoměřice, Lovosice, Ústí nad Labem, Děčín, Nymburk, these places we can reach with the boat, and usually they have place for us somewhere like outside of the town. So people have to walk through the small field or something to get to the boat. And this was a very beautiful moment last year to see people moving by the small sidewalk, you know, by the river, just to get to see the performance on the boat. And from the beginning, it was like a small celebration. And then we were in Antwerp, which is a big harbor in Belgium. And there was this huge harbor where we were the smallest boat among all the others. We were practically lost among the huge, big boats which were passing all the time. I can imagine that people were totally shocking by so many things around that maybe they were losing a little bit the performance. But I think, again, in another way, it must be a big adventure, no?
Using a dazzling array of slapstick comedy, virtuoso musicianship, and spectacular lighting and choreography, Purple Sails makes every effort to keep its audience riveted throughout the performance. As Maciej Forman explains, pulling out all the stops to keep spectators entertained is a wise move. Once the show gets up and running, the theatre ensemble literally has a captive audience for 3 hours before the boat returns to the landing stage.
In some way, it is exactly that the audience become a prisoner, because the only way to get out of the boat is to jump to the water and swim to the other side of the river. But it has, of course, big advantages and also some disadvantages. But I would say the beautiful thing is that if you don't like the performance, you can go out. You can still have a beautiful time to see the trees passing and to see the Prague from a very special point of view. You have a bar which is open. You don't have to watch the performance.
To ensure that the audience is as comfortable as possible, they watch the show in informal cabaret-style seating. The theatre company also provides wine and food during the performance to help spectators enjoy a relaxed and pleasant evening. Maciej Forman says that he very rarely comes across any disgruntled punters after the show.
If there is somebody who don't like the performance, we know from the very early moment after the show, because these people will be the first staying beside the doors, waiting the moment they can go out. But it have to take anyway 40 minutes after the end of performance, because we have to pass again the lock, and so these people have to wait anyway. But usually they have nice time. The last part of the sailing is more about moving around the boat, having a beer in the bar, talking to friends. We have our musicians which still continue to play, and it's Hungarian gypsy music, so it makes people, I think, very comfortable here.
As the musicians play while the boat returns to port, there are indeed very few people waiting impatiently to disembark at the gangway gates. While they wait for the ship to go back to its moorings, most of the audience are quite happy to drink at the bar and enjoy the sights of Prague, as they savour what remains of this novel theatrical experience. The people I spoke to after the show certainly seem to have been captivated by the Forman Brothers production.
I think it was the most beautiful performance I've ever seen. I know this part of the river very well, I think, and I can recognize all the bridges, and yeah, it was really beautiful. Really.
From where I come from in Australia, the few plays that I've seen, it never has actually ever been so innovative as this. Like, they've got such a small amount of space, yet they somehow, it's mutating all the time, which is, I think, just so amazing. I mean, I particularly like the twisting, rotating stage sort of scene, and I thought that was quite good.
You feel that you're part of the play, actually. I think that was the most exciting thing. I have actually seen it before, a year ago, when it was in the tent. And this is far more, you know, the ambience of the play is much more exciting.
It's very special performance. I can recommend to everybody. It's very beautiful and very special idea. just amazing performance, beautiful.
The Arts with Colleen O'Connor. To find out more about when and where Purple Sails will be showing this autumn, go to www.foremanstheatre.cz. And that's all from the Radio Prague English Language Service. We hope you enjoyed the program and won't hesitate to send us any comments or questions that you might have. Our postal address is 12099 Prague 2 in the Czech Republic. To reach us by email, write to english@radio.cz. You can also find almost everything we air on our website in both text and sound, www.radio.cz/English. And don't forget that on some of our times and frequencies over the weekend, you can also hear Inside Central Europe, which is our co-production with four other stations in the region. For more information, go to www.incentraleurope.com. I'm Dita Asiedu. Bye-bye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Europe. 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe. 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre. 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57. Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz.